Standing up to conservatives and corporatists every weeknight. The Rick Smith Show.
An innocent bystander. Somehow I got stuck.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. So, over the last couple of days, gotten a few emails from folks going, you know, what's going on in Greece? You talked about it a couple of months ago and all of that, and never haven't heard anything back. And the last I heard about what's going on, there is the Greek prime minister resigned and then called for a new election. And at the time that I had heard he'd resigned, his popularity was pretty high in demanding a new election. Thought maybe possibly he was going to be reelected. Looks like that's tightened up a little bit. But I thought it'd be a good idea maybe get a little bit of background and see how that affects, you know, the euro area and maybe how it affects us, which is why I've asked economist and professor of economics over at Bucknell University, Mateus Vernango, to come back, talk with us again. He's also a blogger, got a fantastic blog, nakedkeynesianism.blogspot.com is the website. We've got a link at thericksmithshow.com. Mateus, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So I look at this and, you know, I see this, the prime minister resigns, and my first thought is, you know, chaos. You know, why is the guy heading out of Dodge? I guess that wasn't the reason, was it?
No, well, there was a calculation, and many people thought that this was likely to happen. The reason being that he was, as you remember, and we discussed in the previous shows, he had made the referendum in early July. The referendum had a resounding no vote for austerity policies. You know, more than 60% of the Greeks voted against the agreement. He went and negotiated and was, you know, defeated. One may say surrendered. Whether he had some space for a better deal is, you know, difficult to gauge. But at any rate, he accepted a more draconian adjustment program that was originally, you know, on the table. And so clearly with that coming back, the Greek people were still very favorable in their views of Tsipras, of the prime minister, because they knew that he was being blackmailed, that he wasn't responsible, that it was the European, powers that be that were behind that that sort of draconian austerity program.
Right.
And so it was clear that he had political capital, but he had to enforce basically this terrible program, and he was facing also an internal reaction from members of his party. So 25 members of Syriza left the party, created a new party called Popular Unity that is now also running for election, but on a ticket for leaving the euro, for Brexit, basically. And so he was dealing with those issues, and so the normal thing was or reasonable thing to do would be to call elections, which are fairly fast in Greece, and take the advantage of this political capital he had in order to win the election, and, you know, basically not having to enforce these policies without a mandate, so to speak. So that was the reason behind it. Now it seems that his political capital has eroded pretty fast. So the last poll shows that they're basically tied and slightly behind, and they've been falling and falling. So the momentum is with New Democracy, with the old center-right sort of party, the one that was in power before Tsipras was in power, before Syriza, and that has pursued all of this austerity policies. You know, the old prime minister, Anthony Samaras, is behind, you know, all of this in a sense. So things look bleak, I would say.
Yeah, so let me get this straight then, Mateus, because the way I got it is this: the guy who resigned, he was in favor of not pursuing the austerity policies and making the banks and some of the creditors take a haircut in order to solve some of the debt problems. Popular people, I think that's a good idea. Now he's kind of fallen, and the people who want to bring austerity back, they've risen. Is that how I'm getting this?
Yes, essentially, that's what's happening. Mind you, I mean, we're talking of Syriza, the Tsipras, you know, the guy that just resigned. He has around 25% of the vote, if the polls are correct. So a quarter of people will, which is slightly less of what they got when they got elected at the beginning of the year in January, which was 30-something percent. So he has lost some, but not completely. The right-wing party has around 25%. All the other parties, which were scattered, you know, that this is almost like the GOP's, you know, they have lots of parties.
Right.
And so all of the others have around 5% or less. So the third I should want to say, which is in the last poll, the third one, which is sort of concerning, is Golden Dawn, the fascist party, the right-wing anti-immigration, anti-Euro too party. So they have around 5.5% of the vote. The old Socialist Party has less than that. It's in fourth place. So the old Socialist Party and Papandreou's, you know, his father was also prime minister, so a long tradition in Greece of socialist government, they have less than 5%. So that's and the breakoff of Syriza has even less. You know, the Popular Unity has around 4.5%. So it's very divided, and so it's not like the majority of people want the return of the right wing pro austerity, but they might, in a fragmented situation, win and be able to form a coalition government. So that's very likely, I would say.
Wow. Because the people, the working people, are the ones who are going to suffer in this. And it's amazing to me that you would have that kind of support for a group that you're going to know is going to bring you those kind of policies.
Yeah, it's surprising, but it's in the name. I suppose it's part of what the European so the European Union, when the Commission and the IMF Central Bank, the European Central Bank, the so-called Troika, I think that to some extent they when they were very hard in the negotiations with Syriza, and they didn't really try to, although it was very clear that austerity had failed, to make an effort to change policies. What they were trying to do is bring Syriza down. So it was to basically send a signal to other places in Europe, in Spain with Podemos, in Italy and so on and so forth, send a signal that alternatives are not possible. So this is it. You stick with the program.
Yeah, the Tina mentality.
If you try to do something different, we'll bring you down. So I think that's the sort of dynamics. It will be said if that actually occurs. But mind you, if Syriza wins, it's not that it's everything in the clear. So they basically committed to support a program of austerity, which is a terrible program that will make things worse and will last year, apparently, Greece grew a little bit. So even though overall, since the crisis began, the GDP has fallen by more than a quarter.
Right.
They're probably already in a recession, and this will throw them into a worse recession. And there's no end in this scenario. So it's a tragic situation either way. Of course, it's worse, you know, if you bring back the people that created all of this problem.
Yeah, which is amazing to me that you would even consider that. And I remember, maybe you're the economist guy here, I remember the IMF not too long ago came out with a report basically saying that their austerity plan had harmed Greece, and it was actually did worse than they thought it was going to do, because the cuts they made were so bad that it made things actually worse. Or am I remembering that not wrong?
No, absolutely correct. They went even and say further. They said that the Greek debt is unsustainable in the current sort of path, and that it was, you know, a big haircut so was needed, so that ultimately Greece cannot pay under the current conditions, and things have to change. So the IMF, I should say, has been in the back seat on this. So the IMF has not been, in terms of the Troika, has by far not been the worst. And the same for the ECB, I should say. In terms of who has been the worst, it's clearly the European Commission and the finance ministers within the European Union. And in particular, Schäuble, the German finance minister, who said also that he wanted to basically, you know, expel Greece from the euro. So that's why I suggested that it's not really Grexit, as everybody says, it's Grexpulsion. So they're being expelled from the European Union. That's also, I think it's a relatively strong sort of sentiment within many of the members of the European Commission.
So, do you see that? Is that where this is going to go?
I think it's not impossible. I mean, there is, at some point, there is a limit of how much austerity you can take and how much collapse of an economy one can take. We're in the sixth, seventh year of this in Greece. these already is worse than the Great Depression. There is a limit to what the Greek people can support this kind of thing. So I think at the end of the day, if they keep pushing this stuff, eventually the question is how fast and under which conditions. But without any change, it seems unavoidable that Greece will have to leave the euro.
Yeah. So then, if they don't leave the euro, and I guess the first question is, what happens to them if they're out of the euro? Are they then ostracized completely? Do they, what advantages, what disadvantages do they have being outside of the euro? Because I can't imagine us just saying, you know what, Mississippi or Alabama, you're not pulling your weight, off on your own. I can't imagine what that looks like.
It's certainly complicated. It's not as complicated as getting, Texans do once in a while say that they want to leave the country.
Right.
But you're right. That's it's not the same, and the consequences are, here is unthinkable. Whereas I think in Europe is increasingly reasonable to think about that, and there are obviously pros and cons. The thing is not, I wouldn't be direct, it's a solution for all the problems. So it's not panacea. So they'll have problems. They still have the problem that as soon as they're out of the euro, they still have to pay the debt. A good chunk of that will be devalued if, they transform the debt into drachmas. That's for sure. But they still have that, and they still have, more importantly, to import a lot of the goods and services they consume. And for that, they'll need dollars and euros. And so they still have a problem in that respect. On the other hand, they will be able to start thinking about solutions. So some of the incredibly crazy austere policies of cutting pensions, and helping old people, or paying, social transfers to those that need the most, including food security programs so that people do not go hungry, particularly children, that they pay for education, those things will be able, they'll be able to do. So they'll be forced to cut certain types of imports, and there'll be lots of restrictions, and it's going to be hard, but they'll be able to make decisions about how they spend their money in more equitable ways, and to alleviate the suffering of lots of people that are unemployed and retired and don't make ends meet. So that will be feasible. So it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be immediately good. It's going to be still terrible and very difficult. But it seems that at least the Greeks can try to make things better, whereas there's a complete lack of flexibility within the European system, and there seems to be no intention of making the changes that are necessary to improve the situation within the euro.
Right. Yeah, here's the thing that surprises me, Matthias. I mean, Germany has taken a really hard line on this. And given their history, you would think, this kind of a stance and being forced to repay debt and all that would be something that the Germans might understand a little bit better than anyone else.
You're right. Germany, Germany is probably the biggest beneficiary of debt haircuts of the 20th century. Both after the Depression, so when Hitler was in power, and also later on in the 50s, after the process of reconstruction had started, and then Germany was divided. So Germany benefited from all of those things. But on the other hand, memory can be short, and you have to understand that this is all happening also in Europe. But one should say, and not forget the context of which all of this is going on, is one in which there's lots of fear about the global economy. Germany is not growing fast, in which Germany is of the countries within the European Union receiving the largest amount of refugees from the Middle East and North Africa, and a huge crisis caused by several factors, but one of those being American intervention in that part of the world. And things that resonate here too. So when workers think, immigrants might reduce my wages and whatnot, and so those things have been used by elites and corporations to weaken and to divide the labor class willingness to fight for higher wages, better conditions, and so on and so forth. So all of that is going on in Germany too. So the labor class in Germany might be not unreasonably frightened too of what happens if we do a bailout to Greece. I think those are unfounded, you see, but the point is those fears are being played.
Right. No, I mean, you're right.
They don't have higher wages. They don't have very high rates of growth. So their situation is not rosy. So they're afraid.
Yeah, but you would think, though, Mateus, that you know, if they're in that kind of a trouble, it'd be a great opportunity for those other countries to invest heavily into that area and make a bigger return out of you know, taking advantage of how far down they actually are.
Sure, no, I agree with you. I mean, this is irrational. So at the end of the day, this is very irrational, and certainly the Germans, and not just the Germans, one should say a good chunk of, you know, what we just said, a good chunk of the Greeks are going to vote for this, a good chunk of the Greeks that are going to vote for that are the, you know, certainly the upper middle class and the elites are going to vote for this. And so while they see their country collapsing in you know, with their own eyes, it's irrational, but...
Right.
But it's, I suppose, part of human institutions. Yeah.
Good point. Last question I've got you: if all of a sudden you're the prime minister, which way do you personally go?
I'll tell you the truth. At this point, it seems to me very, very unlikely that there is any. So it seems that waiting is just going to make things worse. So I probably would go with popular unity, you know, on a platform of managed exit. Again, not because I think it's a good solution. It's because it seems it's the only solution.
Yeah, interesting. It'll be interesting to follow this, and as it continues down the road, we'd love to have you come back and keep us up to date as this goes down the road.
For sure.
Mateus, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
Again, you can take a look at the website at nakedkeynesian.blogspot.com. We've got a link at therickSmithShow.com. Just click on Mateus' name. It'll take you right there. Really some great stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Uncovering the con in conservatism. Rick Smith.